Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Tune in to Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and practitioner who's helped thousands transform their lives. Part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff will lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Welcome to the Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff show. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host. You're listening to a live Dream Vision 7 radio network broadcast at 1510 a.m. WMEX Boston, heard live every first Sunday at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You can also tune into my show on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every Wednesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. To learn more and for a full station broadcast schedule, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Thanks for tuning into our show this evening. We will be discussing the idea that endings are often necessary for healing. So we know that endings are a natural part of our life journeys. We can expect them, of course. And whether your ending in a certain way or in a certain area occurs in your personal or your professional life, they're often a necessary requirement for moving forward. And often these endings in life are needed. But even still, if they are necessary, they can be daunting, and they can definitely feel devastating if you're not prepared for them. And so this evening, again, I want to talk about what causes issues related to endings, why we resist them, how to move through them, why they would be necessary for our healing. You know, in business, we know that endings are necessary for growth to occur. You know, for example, you can't go on to a higher level without ending a lower level and advancing. I mean, this is just the basics of moving forward in business. And it's also true in personal relationships. You've heard the phrase, I'm sure, that people come into your life for a season, for a reason, or for a lifetime. And endings may occur when relationships are, in fact, finished. Or I could say another way to look at that would be when there is a need for them to end, or when life stages have to end in order for you to progress, in order for you to grow. Or let's say certain parts of the relationship, certain practices need to be changed. Maybe behaviors in terms of the people need to be altered. Or let's say there are commitments that you just simply need to unplug from. These are some of the many reasons that endings would be necessary and natural. So on our show this evening, what I'd like for us to look at are all kinds of endings and reasons why we might be afraid of endings. We'll also, of course, though, look at how to maneuver through them. And toward the end of our show, I'd like for us to look at endings that are related to life passages, which is another sort of area that is related to endings. And we'll talk about how to surrender through those passages with grace. So I'm really quite excited about our topic this evening, and I hope it is helpful for you. But as we get started talking about endings, I want to remind you that really there is good news about all types of endings in life. And that is that endings usually precede new beginnings. So even though endings themselves can be difficult, again, just remember that they are necessary if you're going to have a new beginning. And when endings are actually handled well, the really good news is that they can be quite valuable in bringing about important life healing. So again, as we go and I ask you questions about your life, you might be thinking also about places, areas in life where endings might be necessary, what you might be resisting about that, and of course how you might maneuver through them successfully. Now, even though we know, again, that endings are necessary, what's interesting is, and this has been my experience as a life coach especially, is that people are rarely comfortable with endings. In fact, honestly, many people that I have talked to in coaching, and probably most of the time, avoid endings if they can help it. So why is that? You know, I think it's going to be helpful if we could look at some reasons why this actually happens. Why do people avoid endings? So one reason, I guess this would be the first one that comes to my mind, is that maybe we're afraid of what the alternative to the current situation might be. you know, you might feel safer just keeping things the way they are, even though you're not comfortable with the way they are. And I know that sounds ironic, and it is, but you're not really comfortable with the way things are, but you're perhaps you feel a little safer not making a change. It's that kind of idea of, you know, at least I know this scenario. I don't know if I'll know another scenario or be less comfortable than I already am. So that's one reason why people resist endings. Or another would be maybe you're just not sure if an ending is really necessary. You know, that makes sense too, because you may feel like I don't want to make a mistake. And if I create an ending when the ending may not be really necessary, what if I do something really wrong with it and then I can't retract what I had? So again, it's a logical thing that can be the case. The third thing that came to my mind was, and this is probably very standard, at least in people I know, is that a lot of people don't want to go through an ending because they fear that there'll be some kind of conflict or even a confrontation. Let's say it's a workplace issue, and you know you need to leave a job, or you know that something's not healthy for you. Staying in it, there again, there's a little bit of safety in that, but also you might fear the conflict or confrontation that will occur if you do, in fact, leave the situation. And it could be not even just conflict or confrontation with someone else, maybe inner conflict, you know, or an inner confrontation that you'll have with yourself about what do I do now, where am I going, and so on. And I also think sometimes we just don't know how to go through the ending. You know, even though we've been through endings before, there's always that sense of how do I actually get through this ending. Now, those are just a few things that came to my mind, but I also want to add that you could have an ending that's actually forced on you, and that's still something that people have difficulty going through. You know, maybe an ending is forced on you. Let's say, you know, you lose a job or someone walks out of your life in a relationship and so on. And maybe in that kind of situation, what's difficult can be how do I manage my emotions in getting through this ending? Or, you know, I'm afraid of what is going to happen with my emotions in regard to that ending. And I had a client tell me once, and this also comes to my mind, that she was afraid of making a mistake. That was her biggest thing. As she called it, she said she felt decision impaired. You know, she couldn't make the decision to leave because she was so afraid of making a mistake. And she was also afraid and concerned about the sadness that she knew she was going to feel and the fear, you know, that she also had about the unknown. So that made total sense to me. So, you know, whether you know how to end something or don't know how to end something, the bottom line is endings, again, can be extremely necessary in regard to moving through healing. And it maybe you've been through a painful ending in the past or you've had a painful ending before and you just want to avoid that type of pain. But keep in mind that you have to be able to end something in order for something new or better to take place. I guess that's really the bottom line about necessary endings. But those are just a few of the reasons that I thought of that cause us to have difficulty with endings. Now, in addition to that, we also have to look at what kinds of endings a person goes through, because endings can include just a host of possibilities. So we talked a little about relationships and work, and certainly there's divorce, and sometimes people go through divorce and don't want to be divorced, or they go through divorce and know they need to get out, and it's very difficult to do that, or painful, scary financially. Many, many things can be tied up in that, but certainly divorce is one of those types of endings. The end of a friendship certainly can occur, especially if you feel like the friendship is toxic for you, and yet it could be a friendship you've had for the better part of your life. And we already mentioned being fired or laid off or having to leave a job because it's not right for you or because you know there's some level of not feeling honored in the work that you're doing. And then, of course, there's also the death of a loved one. This certainly is an ending as well. So when it comes to handling any of these endings, we have to consider tactics for how to deal with the ending itself. So before we get into the bigger endings like this, I want to mention that there can also be what would be called small endings. Now, some people actually suggest that it's helpful to start making small changes, or you could say small endings. So if you're in a situation and you can't make a big ending, Let's say you're in a relationship that's dysfunctional. You can start to make an ending by pruning, and this is actually a term that's used, just like you would prune a rose bush, you know. You can prune something. You can say, I'm no longer going to accept this behavior from the partner if it's abusive. Or you can say, I'm no longer going to give my energy to this dysfunctional aspect of my work. So I call that pruning, and that was the term actually that I a friend of mine told me about years ago that I thought was so effective and helpful to think about. And it's a great analogy, really, to use because, you know, there are certain things in our lives that you could give it more care and watering, if you want to think of it that way, but it's not going to help that plant, and it's not going to grow. It's not going to really help it. So, and you can think, you know, how often have you stayed long after you needed to leave either, again, a situation, a relationship, and so on? So pruning, again, think of it as pruning. Is there something you can prune in your life? That can be a proactive way to engage in small endings. And if you did actually have a bush, a rose bush, that you pruned, what is the pruning supposed to do? Well, you cut off the dead parts of that rose bush that's taking sustenance or energy from the bush, and it actually helps the bush to grow stronger. So it is such a good image. And, you know, you aren't letting go of the bush altogether, but you are cutting it back to make it healthier. So I want you to be thinking about what in your life needs pruning. Where are you putting your energy? And do you still want to put your energy in those certain areas of your life? Are you actually getting a return on the investment of your energy? So when do we actually need to prune something? Just again to kind of summarize. Let's say that more care or expensive energy doesn't make something better. So the more you actually are doing or the more energy you're giving it, it isn't getting better. Or this is a kind of a weird way to say it, but I think it's helpful. It's, you know, what if this thing is already dead, so to speak, and you're continuing to give it water and continuing to hope that it will come to life, and it's not going to come to life. It's already dead, so to speak, you know, metaphorically. Or let's say something's taking resources from other more important things in your life, just like a part of the bush would take energy or resources from another part of the bush that needs to grow. So again, look at pruning in this way. And basically, you know what a healthy plant would look like. So when you prune a plant, you would kind of think of your situation. What would a healthy relationship look like? What would a healthy job situation look like? And then try to figure out a way to prune toward the healthy image. That can be very beneficial. And also, if your resources are limited, and generally when we think of our resources, we think of our time, you know, because we have limited time. We may think of our energy, because we certainly, you know, we might think we have unlimited energy, but we don't really. Our money. And then also our emotions. These are all aspects of our resources. So, you know, if your limited resources are not achieving the vision that you have for them, you actually would need to prune the things in your life that are not contributing to the healthy state of the situation of your time, energy, money, and emotions. So, again, I want you to be thinking, is there something unwanted? Almost a kind of idea would be, is there unwanted stuff in your life that you need to unclutter or cut away? So often we think of concrete things. You know, we think of clothing that we're not wearing any longer, or we think of furniture that we don't like or don't need, or that type of thing. But often people don't consider investments of energy that they do every single day that is not really giving a return or not being helpful and not being healthy. You can unclutter that part of your life as well. So just give some thought to that as we discuss this topic, and, you know, maybe jot down some ideas as we go. So with this idea in mind, it's helpful to start with some realistic assessments. You know, one of the hardest parts of ending something, no matter what it is deciding whether you're being realistic about continuing this thing, this situation, or you're engaging in false hope. And I think very often when I'm coaching people, they have to distinguish between those two things. You know, am I being realistic about continuing the relationship or the job situation or whatever? And am I just engaging in false hope? And I believe that most of the time, each of us knows in our heart or in our gut or whatever term we want to use, whether or not this is we're being realistic or not, or again, if we're engaging in false hope. And keep in mind also that when you do evaluate endings, that you have to be strategic. So you want to associate your endings with questions that you would ask yourself, like, you know, what is my vision? What is your vision about your work? What is your mission, your personal mission or your mission at work? What's your vision about yourself in that job or in that relationship? Another thing often people don't ask that I think is really important is, what are your desires? What is it that you actually want to have happen in that relationship? You know, what are your objectives? What are your goals? All of this can be extremely important to getting clear so that you know how to execute an ending. And I think also sometimes I've encountered people in coaching who've told me that they are frightened by endings. And the impression that I get when I spoke with them in the past is that they didn't really see endings as a normal part of life. I know that sounds odd, but they just didn't like endings at all and didn't see them as a normal part of life. But rather, it was like it was something that would be uncomfortable or something that they would have to avoid. And endings are such a natural and normal part of life. And you could really look back on your life and think of so many times when things had to end in your life and did end in your life, and it was necessary for you to be where you are now. So you can evaluate your own endings in the past. You can evaluate your own relationship to endings by asking yourself, you know, if I think of an ending, do I think of it as something is wrong if it has to happen? Do endings actually mean something related to failure to you? Because if you do have that sense of, you know, something's wrong if this has to end, or I'm a failure if this ends, if you have that going on, you will avoid not just endings, but you're going to avoid some really necessary endings. And it's important to know when, in fact, an ending is necessary. So basically, it's just really healthy in your worldview to understand that endings are such a normal part of life. Now, I've mentioned before on earlier shows that I teach in Japan, and there's a wonderful saying in Japan that I'm going to share with you. And the saying is, there is suffering that creates more suffering, and there is suffering that ends suffering. Again, there's suffering that creates more suffering, and there's suffering that ends suffering. And the rest of the quote is, you have to know the difference. So, you know, this quote is really telling us that I could stay in a situation where I'm suffering and just continue the suffering, or I could get out of the situation, and that's going to be hard. I will suffer, but the suffering overall will end if I have the courage to suffer that parting, as it's called. So endings can be painful, but again, it just might be the pain that ends suffering overall, and that is what is so important to know. Okay, so let's look at another aspect of endings, and I call this part, you know, it's important not to let stuck become your normal response, because sometimes people get stuck and just continue to stay stuck and think it's normal to be stuck. And by the way, it's not normal to be stuck, but I'm going to talk a little more about that soon. So we sometimes become stuck, and why do we become stuck? You know, it's almost like we have a chronic ache that just starts to feel normal for us. And it could be a physical ache, but it could also be an emotional ache that starts to feel normal for us. And, you know, you may have convinced yourself into believing that it's just the way things are. So I can't do anything about it. I don't have any power. And why do we do this? Why do we just, if we do that, why do we do that? You know, why do we just settle and say, okay, it's just the way things are? Well, of course, some people will adapt to misery like this or stuckness or difficulty. They'll adapt in that way because they feel there really is nothing they can do about it. They don't feel they have power, even though, of course, we all have the power to make choices. And when that happens, that they feel they don't have any ability to do anything about it, being stuck can start to become a normal feeling. And some people actually, believe it or not, feel more in control when they are stuck, because at least it's familiar to them. And, you know, they don't understand that feeling stuck is a way to stay in control in a certain ironic way. And, of course, we said so many times control is really just an illusion. So, you know, first and foremost, remember that flow itself is your natural state. You actually have to work at it to be stuck, as odd as that sounds. So you can ask yourself, you know, am I resisting something, and how might I get past any resistances that I have, and how might I move forward? Okay, so these are important questions. How might I move forward? What could I do to move myself forward? And the other kind of ironic thing I said to someone one day is, you know, if you weren't stuck, what would you do? Now, that sounds so simple, but it gets people out of the thought of the fact that they think they're stuck. You know, well, if you weren't, what would you do? Act as if, I guess is the saying. So what keeps endings from happening, you know, maybe a person has a high pain threshold, I'm not sure, or they could have a need to just excessively caregive someone else. It's a dysfunctional need that has been with them since childhood, part of what's called their adaptive mask. That's possible. Or they just may feel like ending means failing, or, you know, sometimes people misunderstand loyalty for accepting abuse. And, you know, there's so much to that. That would be another show. But seriously, they could misunderstand loyalty and accept abuse in that way. Or there could be an issue of codependency or just general overfunctioning. And, of course, some people believe that any giving up at all in any way to make a change is bad. And that, of course, is false. That is not the case. So they continue to stay connected to negative situations to resist change. So it's time for us to take a break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Envision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM WMEX Boston. We'll be back for further tips on when endings are necessary for healing. To call in during our half of the show, the local number is 617-237-1234. 866-338 is the toll-free number, 866-338-9663. Thank you so much for listening.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of heart living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
J.T. Lewis is the big brother of Jesse Lewis, who died in Sandy Hook Elementary on December 14, 2012, while saving the lives of nine of his classmates. J.T. found comfort after Rwandan orphan genocide survivors reached out to him from their country to express their condolences and share their personal stories of tragedy and healing. Inspired by the love that was shown to him, JT started Newtown Helps Africa, a nonprofit organization that helps young people in Africa and beyond who've suffered personal tragedy and have shown resilience. He successfully sent one young Rwandan woman to college for 4 years and plans to do much more, all the while inspiring many young people around the world to turn hardship into an opportunity to make the world a better place. Link on to NewtownHelpsRwanda.org.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join us on Creating a Spirited Life with Janet Kesenick the third Sunday of every month at 8 p.m. We'll explore the day-to-day moments that puzzle, enlighten, and bring us into deeper connection with our best selves. Find meaning, purpose, and humor while creating a spirited life. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Tune in every first Sunday at 6 p.m. for Maximum Success, the Coach Brew Show. You'll learn success strategies to take your game to the next level from performance consultant John Brubaker. Maximum Success explores why winners win and teaches you the keys to peak performance. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Dream Vision 7 Radio Live. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic is when endings are necessary for healing. You can call in during our show by calling our local number, 617-237-1234, or you can call toll-free, 866-338-9663. So we were talking about endings and why endings, sometimes people keep endings from happening. So I had mentioned a few reasons, but if you do feel overly responsible for other people, you may delay endings. And what's important to know about this is that if you grew up in a household in which you had to make parents or other members happy, or let's say, you know, you just were taught to feel guilty or you felt guilty, you will probably be an overfunctioner right now. And overfunctioning can cause you in the end to harm not only yourself, but can in fact cause you to harm the other person because you may enable them not to be responsible. You know, maybe you come in 90% in the relationship and they come in 10%. And if it continues that way, that you will always come in 90, they will come in 10. So remember that if something is not working, it's usually not magically going to begin working unless something changes. So here's another possibility. What about holding on because we're in relationship with the person's potential, even though the person isn't manifesting the potential? We need to talk about that. I believe we do have a caller, though, so I'm going to go ahead and take that call. Go ahead, please.
Yes. Hi, Dr. Bischoff. My name is Joan, and I have a question about leaving a relationship.
Okay, Joan, thank you so much for calling. You can go ahead with your question.
Yes, I need to get out of a relationship that's just not working for me. I've been in a marriage for 10 years, and quite honestly, I haven't been happy the entire time. Mm-hmm. I feel like we're just not compatible, not interested in each other. And I know my husband feels pretty much the same way, but he's just not admitting it.
Okay.
He just doesn't seem interested in working in on the relationship and has made that clear to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I, even though I know I need to get out of the relationship, honestly, it's not like when I compare it to other people's situation, it is that bad. And, you know, of course, then that makes me second guess getting out of it. And then I know that my parents would be devastated because they see us as a great couple, whether we're happy or not. And I don't know what I should do.
Wow. Okay, Joan, thank you for sharing that, and I appreciate your honesty about it, too. Let me see if I can help you. You know, it sounds like what you're telling me is neither you nor your husband feel very happy about the relationship, but I thought it was a key when you said, you know, maybe it's not that bad from another perspective, like an outer perspective. Is that what you're thinking? So you don't want to make a mistake?
Yeah, that's true, definitely.
Okay. Well, you know, it's so interesting because I want to share something with you that I've actually taught in classes before. There's an author who's wonderful, and her name is Helen Luke, and she has passed on, but she lived to be in her 90s. She was a Jungian analyst and just an amazing writer. But she wrote a book called The Way of Woman. So first of all, I'd highly recommend that book. And the quote I just remember from my memory in the book I think applies to your situation. So I use it all the time in my coaching, and I'm going to try to remember, or I'm going to try to paraphrase how I remember it. But Helen Luke says that if you're in a situation or a relationship, and basically she says if a part of you is striving to grow, or we could say to become conscious, and it cannot happen if you stay in the situation, that the people involved may have to part ways in order for each of them to grow. Now, to part, she says, it doesn't mean that these two people aren't going to love each other through everything. You know, so it doesn't mean that what they've had up until now is wrong. It just means that for them to part, it's going to encourage growth in both of them. She also says another phrase that I think is so interesting. She says they have to have the courage, because it takes a lot of courage. She says they have to have the courage to suffer the parting, because it's like I said earlier on the show, there is going to be suffering that takes place either way. But, you know, I think more important than that, she has another part to her work, and she says that the people in the situation may have to defy what she calls the outer laws of church and society to be true to the inner law that they have in themselves to love and cherish each other from this day forward. And that part reminded me of what you just said about your parents see it as a great relationship. You know, those are what she calls the outer laws of church and society. Now, she also says, you know, if you leave a relationship for any reason other than because it's the right thing to do, that you'll probably end up with a similar situation and repeat the circumstances. But on the other hand, she says the phrase, until death do us part, does not always mean a physical death. Because if your soul, your spirit, and so forth, your emotions are dying, then that warrants a parting. So I hope that helps. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. And sounds like a great book. I think I'm going to get it, too.
Okay, good, because it is a wonderful book. And, you know, Joan, what's so important, though, in all of this is to honor yourself, to be true to your own values. You mentioned that your husband wasn't interested in working on it. So, you know, don't give up on yourself. Honor yourself. Be true to your values. If you can work on honest change in yourself and improvement in yourself as well as with your husband, of course that would be great. That's so important. You can't change another, but you can change yourself, which will have an effect on the other person. But just reflecting on these words of Helen Luke's about being true to yourself is so important. I really hope that helps, and I do thank you for calling.
Thank you. Yes, it helps a lot. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, so I appreciate that call from Joan, because that is often the case. A situation may not be really bad, and so we think, well, what if I shouldn't get out of it? But if you're not fully alive, then yes, you probably need to get out of it, or you at least need not to be in it in the way that you are. That's what's really important. So I was saying earlier that there's another possibility. We were talking about when something's not working, you know, it's not magically going to begin working unless something changes. And that's probably true even of the relationship that Joan just mentioned to us. But what about if we hold on because we're in a relationship with a person's potential? This is another thing that can happen. Even though the person isn't manifesting the potential, but we know they could if they really wanted to. You see how that can happen? That's like hanging on to a fantasy or being in a relationship, again, just with potential but not with reality. And another thing I've found over the years is sometimes we put our trust in a promise or a belief that a person has expressed rather than in the actuality of who they are or what they're actually doing. So, you know, words and deeds are not necessarily the same. So you do have to ask yourself, you know, is this person doing what it is he or she is saying that, in fact, they're doing? Words and deeds are not the same. So is there really a good reason to believe something's going to get better? That's going to be really important. And, you know, I once heard the idea that the best predictor of the future is the past. And in relationships, whether it's workplace or personal, professional, I really think this can ring true. What has the past shown you about the situation? And certainly things can change, but if you hold on to potential without seeing any evidence of it happening, then you may be deluding yourself. So use your intuition. You know, what do you honestly think is likely given the past in regard to a relationship or a job and so on? For someone or something to change, there also usually has to be a new structure and an accountability, and the person should not be hanging around the people or places that help sustain the old behavior. You know, sometimes people say, well, you know, this has changed, but really, in essence, the circumstances of structure and accountability haven't changed. So I guess ask yourself the degree to which you have to drive the process of change or improvement versus the person or the workplace being motivated in making the change as well. You know, are you the only one carrying the energy for the change? And again, endings are not often easy, but may be necessary for growth. So how do we understand human nature and people? You know, you may be a responsible and loving person and assume that others are going to be just like you. They're going to be just as responsible as you are. Or you can assume that other people's values and morals, for example, are like your own. And often in a relationship, we're surprised at how different a person may be from us in this way. And often we don't find that out until we are in the relationship and maybe well into the relationship. So it's really important to look at character traits in a person that can help you assess people. Now, years ago, I taught in the MBA program at Old Dominion University here in Norfolk, Virginia, and I taught actually for 9 years in that program, and I used principles in communication classes to help people become better communicators. I'm going to share those after our next break, but it is time for us to take another break. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, WMEX Boston. We'll be back for further tips on when endings are necessary for healing, and we will look at characteristics of people. Call in during our second half of this, or third half at that point of the show. The local number is 617-237-1234 or toll free 866-338-9663. Thanks so much for listening.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Invite the Kids for Love Project, an enrichment program, into your school, classroom, or wellness center. Kids for Love Project is focused on teaching kids unconditional love for self and others. The project is a journey into self-discovery. It consists of fun, creative tools to learn self-love, like I choose love, I am love, I stand in love, and utilizing one's energies with reconnective healing and tuning into one's intuition for inner guidance, plus connecting to our natural surroundings. Kids who hold love for self do not bully or harm others. Let's cultivate a kinder world that holds compassion for all. Teaching the power of love to our kids is the way. To learn more or to bring Kids for Love Project to your school, contact Deborah Beauvais, 508-226-1723. That's 508-226-1723. Or go to our Kids for Love Project on Facebook.
Are you ready to live a more meaningful and passionate life? Through the principles of Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, international life coach and energy medicine practitioner, you'll delve into new theories, discover life wisdom, and achieve greater balance. Become inspired. Connect with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff through her Dream Vision 7 radio show, Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Visit Cynthia's website at heartliving.com and like her Facebook page at facebook.com/heartliving for inspiration and guidance. Cynthia has helped thousands transform their lives. Let her lead you on a remarkable journey of the heart.
Join the Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie every fourth Sunday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. Come explore with us natural and healthy ways to achieve inner peace, happiness, and an ever-present state of well-being. You're already healed. You just haven't realized it yet. When you're ready, you can change your mind and change your life forever. The power of a beautiful life is within you today. Mind Health Coach with Leah Marie is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
The Dream Vision 7 Radio Network presents Kids for Love. It's a project, a mission, and a radio show. Come join Deborah Beauvais and her young co-hosts every second Sunday at 6 p.m. as we celebrate kids making a difference. We invite other kids to join in for the spirited conversation filled with creative ideas and possibilities to start their own mission. Let's raise the bar together and cultivate a kinder world by getting inspired to help others in need. Kids for Love Project. Celebrating kids that empower others. That's every second Sunday at 6 p.m.
This is Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Radio live broadcast here at 1610 AM WMEX. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, host of Heart Living with Cynthia Bischoff. Our topic is when endings are necessary for healing. Now, prior to the break, we talked about character traits in a person, and I mentioned that I had taught in the MBA program at the local university here for many years and used these communication tips in classes to help people become better communicators. So basically, it helps to understand that there are actually researched characteristics of what are called mature people. And I want to share this with you. And so just for starters, mature people, again, a general term used to mean people who are able to function well in a relationship, they are generally considered to be receptive to feedback. So when feedback is offered to them, they are able to receive it, just be receptive to feedback. They also are said to own where they need to grow and are interested in improving. So they, you know, it, of course, delivery is everything, but essentially, if they're talked to about growth and ways to improve, they would be open. They would own where they were and be open to improving. They're able to learn from experience, and they can make adjustments. So in other words, if something does happen to them, they meet a challenge and so on, they're able to learn from it and not be suddenly stuck or devastated by it, but they're able to learn from it, and they can make adjustments accordingly. And the fourth characteristic is that they don't get resistant and are able to embrace change. Now, in addition, I've heard a saying once and used it in those classes that I want to share with you, and that is that mature people can meet the demands of life. Again, mature people can meet the demands of life, while less mature people usually are said to demand that life meet their needs. Do you see the difference? Mature people can meet the demands of life, while less mature people usually demand that life meet their needs. So just kind of an interesting quote that I'd heard once before. Don't remember who said it, but you know, it stood out in my mind. So mature people care how their behavior affects others. They're willing to make changes. And above all, talking through a situation with them actually often helps. Okay, so talking through a situation actually often helps them. Now, just like characteristics of mature people that I mentioned, there are also researched characteristics of immature people. And we need to look at those as well, because immature people generally are said to reject feedback or think that you are wrong. So they immediately feel criticized and reject feedback or think again that you are wrong. Another characteristic, they blame you or something else for what's going on with them. So, you know, it's your fault or it's the fault of someone or something else for what's going on with them, rather than owning what's going on, as we said mature people would do. They often resist change. They rationalize things. Well, it's that way because this, or I can never do that because I never got this, that kind of thing. Or they may get angry with you. Okay, they may get angry with you. They, in addition to rejecting the feedback, they often explain away the need for change. So they don't embrace change. They explain away the need for it. Another one that comes to mind, they don't try to change or meet the new requirements. So if new requirements are given them, they don't attempt to meet them or change the way they are to meet them. They don't always own the pain that they cause other people. You know, they can be the types who might walk out on you, who may not care whether you feel bad or whatever, but they don't often own the pain that they cause other people. Another one that I remember in the group was that they see people who get on their case, as they might often use the term, they see people who get on their case as being the problem. So other people are the problem, not that, like, there's a separate problem itself. And usually they decide that the problem is something outside of them or outside of anything their behavior could change. So you got a long list there of what immature people generally do. And with people who are immature, talking is usually not that helpful. So when I was teaching in the Masters in Business, you know, we talked about when you're a supervisor, for example, but of course this applies to a relationship in a personal way, it's important to know when talking is going to be helpful or not helpful. And usually it is believed that immature people do not own the issue, as I just mentioned. And so one of the most effective methods you have in order to effect a change is through your behavior, and I'm going to repeat that, through your behavior in response to them. So rather than to talk to them about how they need to do something, change your own behavior in response to them. And sadly enough, and this is often most of the time, you might as well stop talking. So if you've been trying to do this through talking it out, often that does not work. And instead of having a conversation, and if, especially if you've attempted this and you know it's not working, let the person know that because talking isn't helping, that you have to set a limit in some way or, you know, set a consequence. But then when you do that, you have to do it. You have to stick with it. And the only time the immature person will usually get it is when their behavior costs them something. Isn't that important? If it costs them something or if they feel pain from their own behavior, then they're more likely to change it. And so in this case, often in the workplace, we say deadlines can force improvements in the communication or endings when something's been dysfunctional and so on. Deadlines can force endings when nothing else may be able to do that. And you can create a standard in which if the standard is not met, the ending is guaranteed. So again, that can affect a change in behavior as well. But when you assess people and you assess change, ask yourself to see into the future a year from now and, you know, decide whether or not you wish the same pattern to be playing out. And if you do not, then you must do something about it. You cannot continue to live with the situation or with a person in that way. Now, along with all of this, how do we deal with another person's resistance? Or how do you deal with your own resistance? So let's look at that next. Because when it comes to resistance, you know, meeting up with the resistance in yourself or in another, we have to understand that when we resist life, resistance itself takes a tremendous amount of our energy, maybe most of our energy. And why do we resist? You know, what is resistance? Well, it occurs often because we have internal issues as much as we have external issues, or there are reasons that something is happening. You know, what if you're holding on to a dream? You know you may have to let go of one wish in order to have another, but you're still holding on to an old dream, even though when you probably know that old dream's not going to be a reality. So it's going to be important not to become attached to a specific outcome or result like that. And in regard to endings, you may have to face losing something to actually gain something. Because endings come before, as we said, new beginnings, and we need to remember that you can't have a new beginning without the ending. So, you know, you got to ask yourself, are you willing to sacrifice something to gain something else? That's really important. And here's another interesting idea about letting go or being unable to. You know, it's believed that hoarders, just using this as an example, keep stuff in part because they think they might need it someday. Okay? But why do they think they might need it someday? Well, they generally have anxiety about letting go. So the idea of, you know, of possibly having what they may sometime need in the future medicates the anxiety around the need to let go. So just that's just one simple way to understand why someone may be feeling stuck or unable to move forward. And some people also think if they want to take action, if they just want to take it, it means they're taking it. And, of course, if you're taking action only in your head, you're not taking action at all. And I, in classes, have referred to that as awareness. You can have all the awareness you want, but if you're not willing to do something about your awareness, if you're not willing to act on what you know, you're not going to move forward. Okay? So this is pretty important. And finally, if you're going through a grieving process, for example, pay attention because it should have an eventual ending. And there's so much about that that you can read, but if you've been in a relationship, let's say, that has ended, and years later you're still feeling in the relationship related to the ending, and you're still giving energy to it, then, you know, you're still in it. And there's even a saying that comes to my mind that if you leave a relationship and you still think of it all the time, or you're still angry about it, you haven't really left it. So, you know, these are important ways to understand when endings are necessary. So just remember that endings and new beginnings are linked. Endings are natural and often lead to something much better. That's the good news. And that you really have to make wise decisions and trust yourself to evaluate the situation, to understand or gain awareness, and carry out what you need to do, especially in regard to endings. So endings can also, I mentioned earlier, be a part of a life passage. And what is a life passage? It's just a point in life when you have to pass through something to get to another point. Maybe it's midlife, you could call it, the second half, Jung termed it. But ultimately, when these new and emerging parts of us don't fit into the limitations of our former selves, we often struggle. And reading about passages might help you very much because the struggles become opportunities to end something and begin something new. So passages are actually a good thing, and handling passages with grace happens when we yield to the flow rather than remain in resistance or remain in fear. So, you know, again, think about what is going on there. And we talked earlier about pruning, and we can apply reasons for pruning a bush to reasons for pruning circumstances in your life. You know, if you gather a lot of activities, relationship, work interests, and so on, you could give a lot of energy and time and resources to that. And you have to figure out what you're investing in and make sure that your investments are serving you. So I want to thank you so much for listening this evening and sharing your hearts with me in this hour. I do hope that you will check out my website, heartliving.com, and subscribe for detailed information and also a weekly blog. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to contact me through email at my website or through my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/heartliving. I want to let you know about a workshop that I will be doing in Virginia Beach on the Bay at Chesapeake Bay, and it's called The Art of Manifesting. It's going to be so exciting. It's all about creating the life that you desire. We will go over, it's October 24th and 25th, Saturday 9 to 5 and Sunday 9 to 1. And we'll be talking in that workshop all about universal principles of abundance, manifestation, how to be a vibrational match with your desires, how to learn how resistance might keep you from manifesting, and so on. Lots about emotions, moods, and habits, and how they can help or hinder you. But most of all, this is my fourth workshop on the Bay that I've been doing, and already we have 45 people who have registered. I hope that you will register too, because it will be an amazing opportunity to co-create, learn how to co-create your life in the most powerful way. Most of all, I thank you so much for listening to our show and to remind you of the Heart Living motto, which is live your life with passion and purpose. I'm Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, your host for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, live with Dream Vision 7 Radio Network, 1510 AM, WMEX, Boston. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you for tuning in to Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff. Join us the first Sunday evening of every month at 7 p.m. to explore ways to live a more inspired and passionate life. Gain clarity, balance, and purpose as Cynthia guides you on an enlightening journey of personal transformation. For more information, find Cynthia at her website, heartliving.com, or on Facebook, facebook.com/heartliving.